Amen. Great to see you today. I hope you all had a good Christmas time. We had a Friday night for our Christmas Eve service. We had just a really special time, and hope you guys had a good Christmas yesterday. And, you know, the poinsettias are gone already. By next Sunday, the trees will be down, and it'll be like it never happened. But this week between Christmas and New Year's is always an interesting time. And in this case, with Christmas and, you know, Christmas and New Year's being on a Saturday, next year they are both on Sundays, which makes things even more complicated for sure. But when you bank Christmas, you put it behind you, and then you're going, okay, the New Year's about to start. Even though we understand every day is another day, and there's nothing like magical about the new year that makes it any different than any other transition. And yet our calendar gives us an opportunity to look back and to look forward. And this is a year where you look at this year, and how many of us would go, boy, I hope next year is just like 2021. No, I'm glad to see this year gone. Myself, you know, and just in a few days it will be. Now, not that everything was bad this year. There were a lot of blessings. God is good. In some ways, 2021 was better than 2020. But what I'm looking forward to is, what's God going to do next? And so as we look this week, as we prepare ourselves for that transition, I think there are certain truths that work really well for us at this time. Last Sunday, as we were preparing for celebrating God becoming a man, the incarnation, and we were looking in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul explained that for Jesus to become our Savior, for him to become human, he had to release his grip on all of his entitlements as God. And then he taught us that if we are going to have the life that he wants for us, we too have to stop hanging on to our entitlements. Those things that we think we're entitled to because of, you know, our accomplishments, or those things that we think we're entitled to because of compensation for having lived a rough life, he says, let it go. Just turn it loose and find a way to move forward in your life. Well, today we move on to chapter 3 of Philippians, and he goes into a little greater detail personally about how he looks at, how do I look at my life compared to where I think my life should really be going? And so he does some valuable reflecting that will instruct us. And for me, there's no better time than the week between Christmas and New Year's for us to take a look at our lives and just go, how's this going? How's it working out for us? Are there things that I want to see more of in the coming year? Are there things that I could probably use less of in the coming year, especially emphasizing on those things that I have the ability to make choices that will determine things that either deteriorate or they accelerate. And so it's that, you know, there's something about an identity crisis that's a positive thing for us. If you never think about who you are and how your life is going, and you don't ever get an assessment, then you're just kind of bouncing through life with no direction at all. For me, New Year's is a good time to go, okay, we're going to hit reset. We're going to start over. There's a new year coming, and it will become, at least part of it will become what I decide it's going to become. And so to me, that's a great benefit of celebrating the new year. It's like, okay, everything starts over on that day. Everything starts over on the first day of a new year. So in Philippians 3, Paul's been talking about how much he really wants to know Christ. But then in verse 12, Philippians 3, verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, wait, this is Paul, the apostle, the guy who saw, you know, this light from heaven. He hears Jesus talking to him. His life turns around. He's accomplished so much. He's written by this time most of the New Testament. He has given a speech in Athens to the smartest people in the world and got a real reaction. He's planted churches throughout Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, plus on the Grecian peninsula. He's done so much. He's become friends with some of the most powerful people in the Roman Empire by this time. And he's going, look, I'm not talking to you like I'm somebody who's arrived. And I look at it and go, Paul hadn't arrived? At this point, he's not going to do a whole lot more arriving, I would think, because he's now in prison. He would never get out of prison. He would end up being executed. But it helps me to know that at this stage of my life, if Paul could say at this stage in his life, I have not arrived yet, then I can also be comfortable saying, okay, I've been through a lot in life, but I'm not done yet. I haven't arrived yet. And so whether you're young or whether you're old, it's important to keep that in mind. Paul says, I'm not done. We're not done either. It's not over yet. We should never feel like there's a transition that can happen in life where you work really hard to accomplish things, and then after that, you're just working hard to try to protect what you've accomplished. And that wasn't Paul. He's like, look, I am not done. And I think that that's one of the first things that should be in our hearts and minds at a time as we transition into another year. Don't think you're done. He says he wasn't. I'm not perfect, he said. What that does too is it makes us know, I don't just want to be more like him. He said, you don't want to be like me. I want you to find something that goes beyond just trying to copy another person. But, he said, I press on. I continue this process of moving forward. As we go into another year, I hope each one of us has the idea, I want to press on. I don't want to coast. I also don't want to go backwards, and I don't want to stall out. He says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That's a really weird, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ also, Jesus has also laid hold of me. What he's saying is, there's a vision that Jesus has for my life, like what my life would look like in a perfect world. And he said, I want to get a hold of the understanding of why did he get a hold of me in the first place? Like, what's the point of my life? Paul, what he's dealing with here is like the, hopefully for each of us in our lives, every once in a while, we go through a bit of an existential crisis where we ask ourselves, what am I really here for? Am I actually becoming something that's worth becoming? Am I actually living my life in a way that it lines up with who I'm really supposed to be? And that's kind of what he's asking. There's Bob Dylan has a song called Shooting Star, and I love the song, but it's him going through this existential crisis with the Lord. And he said, I saw a shooting star tonight, and I thought of me. Am I still the same? If I ever became what you wanted me to be, did I miss the mark, overstep the line that only you could see? Saw a shooting star tonight, and I thought of me. There's a time in life where we have to think of me. We have to decide, am I even in the ballpark? Am I seeing anything in my life that I can say, that's who I am, that's who God made me to be, that's my sweet spot, that is where I know I'm getting somewhere? And that's a painful thing. There are some people who never think about that. They never even look at their life and evaluate it and go, so, am I getting closer to what I'm supposed to be? Am I getting closer to me in the fulfillment, or me in like, yes, that's who you are. That's what you are becoming. And there, it's understandable when we forget that or lose sight of it, but it's tragic when we never make the point of even asking the question. That look in the mirror that just goes, so, what does my life mean? What am I really here for? What's the objective and goal of who I am? And have I got there at all? Or did I just go through another year and I feel like the year just went by and I don't think I'm any closer to living a fruitful life? All I can say is, well, I survived. Boy, what an important question to ask. What is the purpose of my life? What is it that, if in fact God makes each person uniquely with unique callings, do I ever look at that and say, do I even have a sense of when my life looks like what it's supposed to look like? Do I have any idea of, in the last year, there were certain things that I did that it just felt like, boy, that's it. That was in that moment. That was me being me. That was me being the person that I was designed to be. Paul, at this point, is saying, this is the goal of my life, to try to become the person that I'm trying to figure out that God said, this is who I made you to be. Most of us, for a long time, never really wrestle with questions of personal identity because we spend so much of our lives trying to satisfy other people's vision of us. When, you know, we want to become who our parents think we should be, then we want to become who our teachers want us to be, then we want to become who our friends want us to be, then we want to become who the people that we are in intimate relationships with want us to be. And then we want to be who our kids want us to be, who our employer wants us to be, who we're surrounded by people that tell us who we ought to be. But do we ever take the time to stop and just say, who was I really born to be? When is it in life when I feel not like, okay, that person was finally satisfied, but when I can go, when God made me, this is what he saw at my best, on my best day, in my best moment. Like, what is it that I am really being true to me while I do it? Now, most of us can think of all kinds of times. If we look back at 2021, we can think of all kinds of times when we go, I don't know what I was designed to be, but it wasn't that. It wasn't being that person, or it wasn't experiencing that situation. But Paul challenges us, I think, for me, I'm like, okay, when was the last time I asked myself the question, am I becoming what I was supposed to be, what I was designed to be? Am I attaining that for which he attained me? Because we're all here for a purpose. God, and it isn't like God wants to get something out of us. That's not why he invented us. That's not why he created us. That's not why he made us. Not so he can get something. But there's an idea that he has of, man, when you do this, you will feel most like yourself. You go, wow, that's amazing. And so Paul's just saying, I'm dealing with that existential crisis in my own life. In fact, it's what I do with my life as I wrestle with that question. But then he makes it clear in verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. This is really essential. He said, I'm telling you this, but it's not because I've arrived and I want you to be as fulfilled as I am. He goes, I haven't arrived. I love this. He's an older man. He's in prison. He can't do most of what he used to do. His vision's failing. There are so many ways in which this guy who loved to travel, he can't travel. This guy who loved to write, he has to have somebody else actually do his writing for him as he dictates it. This guy who loved to to make tents and be in the marketplace interacting with people. Can't do that anymore. But he said, I look at my life right now and I'm like, I'm still not there yet. And I'm thankful for that, because I would have to say, if Paul would say, I haven't arrived yet, then guess what? I haven't arrived yet either, and neither have you. Never quit that imagination of dreaming what your life could be, because if you stop doing that, then you're saying, I've arrived, I'm done. Pretty much my best days are behind me. Anything that I've done now, I am defined by what I used to do. Now I'm defined by what happened back then. Yep, I pretty much hit my peak early. And now I'm done. Paul's in a prison cell saying, I haven't apprehended yet. I still don't get who I am. But he said, one thing I do. Now, he isn't saying I only do one thing, but he's saying there is one thing that I make sure that I am doing this. This is more important than whatever else that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. That is, the word forgetting doesn't mean you actually can't remember it, but it means literally you put it out of your mind. You know it, but you go, no, that is not going to determine who I am moving forward. My past is not going to determine my future. Your past never does unless you hang on to it. If you learn to set the past aside, the great thing is now your present can definitely help define your future. That's the way life is supposed to work. But I've set aside those things which are behind, and I reach forward. I'm always progressing to those things which are ahead. I'm always moving forward and deliberately saying, whatever I used to be, that doesn't have to be who I am now. What I've done wrong doesn't disqualify me for what I can do in the future. In fact, most of us, we look back on our lives and just go, I wasted so many resources, I wasted so much time, I wasted so much potential. But in actuality, was it wasted? Or were all of those things lessons that bring you to today, where you can just go, man, one thing I know, that wasn't worth it. That wasn't a good idea. I wasn't good at that. Even having a job that's terrible and you end up getting fired is like, well, at least I learned that's not my thing. Flunking a class is a good way of finding out, not my niche either. You know, you have to analyze it and figure out why. But Paul says, no, I'm going to take the past and I'm going to set it aside, because I have an objective. I have a thing that I'm trying to do. I want to move forward. So here we are. We're at the end. We have another week left almost in a year. Now, is your intention to, in the coming year, move forward? Or are you just hoping to tread water? Are you just hoping to, like, minimize the damage? Are you just hoping to be like, well, I hope I don't mess it up, and I got to grab a hold of, and I better keep doing what I'm doing. People expect me to be the way that I am, and I certainly can't change and disappoint people. Paul would go, nope, I'm not. I'm taking what's in the past, and I'm going, okay, let's set that aside. I mean, the past is what it is. It's the past. There are a lot of lessons that come from the past, but you can learn the wrong lessons from the past. So he goes, don't worry about that. It's a full-time job to move ahead. It's a full-time job to move, reach forward to those things that are ahead. So how do you do that? Well, it has to start with deciding what it is that isn't a part of who you really are. It's one of the great gifts of failure. It's one of the great gifts of wasted time, wasted resources, wasted energy, because our past does a good job of showing us what doesn't work. And so in order to focus, I have to be able to, and he goes on to say, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, hey, I have an objective, and this is the one thing that I do, as he says in verse 13. You know, the way that you focus isn't just by focusing on something, it's by eliminating a whole lot of other things so that your picture becomes more clear as you look forward. So what focus does is eliminate periphery as much as it illuminates that which is there. We gain focus in our lives as we figure out what isn't that. And it's the way we live our lives too. And Paul would recognize this is like, look, my whole thing is I need to move forward and I need to gain focus. And therefore, by implication, I need to find out what isn't important to me so that I can then discover what is. We almost always discover our ultimate purpose and calling by figuring out the things that aren't our purpose and calling. You know, you look at somebody who's like when somebody's a little boy, they want to be a Major League Baseball player or a professional football player. But over time, they hit a limit. And then they realize, I must be something other than just that. Even people who accomplish at the top of their game in sports come to a day when, unless they're Tom Brady, they realize, I can't do it anymore. Now who am I? Now what do? I can't just be that guy. Well, most of us in our lives, we've tried different things. We go through different phases. We try different. Some people have to go through several relationships before they figure out, I don't know who I'm supposed to be with, but I know I'm not supposed to be with people like that. You go through certain friends that it's like, you know, oh, I feel like I wasted my time trying to be a friend of that person. Not really. You learned that you don't want to spend as much time with people like that. It's a part of our focus. It's a part of figuring out what to do in life is beginning to minimize, you know, everything that isn't that. Then all of a sudden what's left becomes closer to who we really are and what we're really called to do. I love the quote from Howie Hendricks, who was a professor at Dallas Seminary, and he taught into his 80s. And he taught some of the same education classes for, you know, 50 years or more. And at his retirement, they ask him, how in the world did you keep your focus all these years? And he said, the key to concentration is elimination. And when I heard that, I'm like, wow, that's powerful. Like, you don't find what to focus on and focus on that. You start eliminating everything that isn't that. And this is something that we aren't very good at. Because when we invest in a relationship or, you know, something that we purchase or something that we learn to do or something that we get pulled into or a relationship that, you know, a group of friends that we're with, we feel like this may not be working, but I've already put so much into it. I've already invested so much that for me to walk away, for me to put that junk and send it to Salvation Army would be like admitting it was stupid for me to buy it. So instead, I'm going to pay a monthly fee at a storage place so that I can shove it in there, and then someday on Storage Wars, people will be watching my stuff on TV getting auctioned off by a bunch of, you know, truck driver looking people. And sorry if you're a truck driver, but if that's truly you, that's fine. But you know, it's like, that's the attraction of that is we all have junk that everybody else would look at and go, why did you do that? And the truth is, if our time had to be stored, if everything that we've invested in, if all of the relationships that we've had to be auctioned off one day, and it will be in the end, as our lives approach the point where, you know, here year after year after year, and then all of a sudden you start realizing, I have less time. I used to think I had a bunch of time. Eventually, somebody's going to be auctioning off, like, wow, so that's who you were. You were that person with that stuff. I've had to go through, I did this with both of my parents, and I've had to help do it with other people, where you look at all the stuff they leave, and you're like, wow, that's you? I mean, that is, and sometimes it's kind of touching, like when I cleaned out my mom's place after she died, boxes and boxes of CDs of my studies. I don't think she listened to them, but it made her feel good to have them. But what did I do? I tossed them right in the trash. Last thing I needed is CDs of me. Like, Mom, you never heard of the internet? But at the same time, you see things that meant something to a person. And so if your life is picked over like that, what are people going to figure out about what was important to you? Are you really the product of whatever it is that you hung on to because you didn't want to let go of it, even though you knew it didn't work anymore? How much stuff, I mean, I have in drawers, I have power cables. I have no idea what they go to. But you never know when you might need another, you know, power cable. You never know when you might need another one of these. We do the same things with everything in our lives. There are people who are our friends because they enrich our life. There are people who are friends just because, well, we've always been friends and we've done so much for them that they convince us that we owe them more. Our life is a limited quantity while we're here on the earth. We get to heaven, we're going to have it forever. I have people, by the way, who ask me, hey, you know, are we going to have a Christmas Eve service and you can do a prophecy update? I go, no, I'll give you the short version. Jesus could come back at any time. Everything's going to be okay. Take the night off. But, you know, it's like, as Paul is saying, figure out what really matters by figuring out what doesn't. It's very uncomfortable to do this scrutiny. That's why I suggest that coming up to the end of a year is a good time to do an inventory, because people are not super self-aware sometimes about even their own life, and they're afraid to even consider it. They're afraid to even ask the question of, what did I get and what did I waste out of the past year? But it's essential for us to know God has a purpose for our lives, and sometimes we can feel it. Sometimes we, almost any of us, can look back and go, okay, what moments in your life this year did you feel most awake, most excited, most alert, most fulfilled? And you can even look around at your stuff and go, how much of this stuff really is like, yep, that's me? And how much of it is just like, that's fine. It'll be okay. I can, you know, I don't love that shirt, but I can certainly wear it when I'm working in the yard. You know, it's like, that's the way we live our lives sometimes. And so Paul is just going, no, you have to find a singularity of purpose. You want to figure out, who am I really? And then take a look at your life and say, how can I focus by putting things that are inferior out of focus so that I can look at this next year and say, like, for instance, if you go, there are certain people that when I have encouraged them, it really seemed to not only help them, but man, I felt good doing that. Well, that's a good way to spend your time. I don't do a ton of counseling. I'll talk to anybody that wants to talk to me, but I usually don't do them that much good, other than I'll say things nobody else will say to them. But I don't like to have counseling sessions over and over again with somebody, because I pretty much said what I know. It's like, that's why I don't do premarital counseling. I'll do one session. I could tell you everything I know about marriage in about 15 minutes. And then I go, you can go talk to Pastor Ken. Ken could do this forever. But everyone has different purposes in life. Everyone has different callings, but it's so important for us to look with honesty at the year and at our lives and how we invested everything that we had and say, how much of that was really, you know, spot on to who I really am? And if we can have that level of self-awareness, we can make the difficult choices that say, there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff, but when I focus, that's when I feel like that's it. That's what's working. If you try to make everything work, you will wear yourself out. But if you understand, I'm just one person, and there is a reason. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you have to do stuff that you weren't really born to do because somebody has to do it. But make sure that you have that one thing that you, if you say, what I am really, when I feel most alive is when I can talk to somebody about this, or when I can help somebody do that, or when I draw a painting, or when I play a musical instrument, or when I take a walk in nature, whatever. Find out what that is that makes you feel most yourself, and you'll be getting close to something that God may want to use to help your focus, as he says, moving, pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You will become more who you are designed to be when you are pressing toward discovering those things in your life that it was like, that's what God had in mind when he made me. That's when I feel most myself. That's when I feel God. That's when I feel most connected. And so, and he goes on in verses 15 and 16 to say, and look, therefore let us, as many as are mature, get in this process, have this mentality. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. It's not an emergency. You're going to figure this out one way or another. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. So he says essentially, I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. This is a process. But this is something, if you keep this rule in mind, your life is going to be much better as you move forward. And if this is something, if this is a process that you'll go through even this week, I promise you, your next year, 2022, is going to be a better year than 2021 because you didn't waste the potential that God gave you, that he built in you, but you're discovering more and more, this is when I feel most alive. This is when I feel most like who he made me to be. It's so frustrating if you live your life trying to do everything because you don't know what's going to work and what doesn't. It's, you don't have to live that way. And Paul didn't. He couldn't. He was so limited at this point. I'm sure there was a time when he thought he could do it all. But at this point, he had realized, you know what? I just want to keep moving forward because I haven't really arrived yet. There's a whole lot that I've done. I just push it aside. And I look forward and I think, okay, I have learned from what works and what doesn't. And again, that self-awareness is challenging. But it's the greatest challenge we have in life and the most important. But he said, I've figured this out, that my focus is increasing. Where I know, I think it was Andy Stanley who said, your goal in life should be more and more to only do what only you can do. Like, figure out what, if you don't do it, nobody else can. Do those kinds of things, especially when they make you feel like, wow, this is what God made me to do. That's what clicks. And that way you don't have to cloud and clutter and fill your life with a bunch of stuff hoping that something works. If what you know at the end of the day, if you just go, when I have felt the closest to God, when I have felt the most like my life mattered, was when I just went and played with a child and had fun with them. Or I talked to a teenager and had a good conversation with them. Or I called a friend and just said, hey, I want to pray for you. Or I, you know, there's a guy in our church who goes down and he's like been a big preacher down at the pier. And I always like, why are you doing that? But people hear the gospel. But he's doing a new thing now where he has a sign up with he and his friend, and it says, let us pray for you. We'd love to pray for you. And he said, what a difference that makes. Because a lot of people, nobody ever asks them, can I pray for you? So maybe for you, it's just that, praying for someone. I know as a police chaplain, I've been called out to really horrible situations, but I can only think of one exception when I said, hey, would you like me to pray for you? When they said, no, I'd rather you didn't. And that guy ended up crying in my arms, but at that point, he didn't want me to. But figure out what it is you do. And don't think of it as, how do I fill my life with this? What a great thing if at the end of next year, you can go, I began to figure out what really makes me and what makes me feel like that's why I'm living. And then you can put other stuff in your life. You can do other things. But, I mean, if you have relationships that are destroying you, that's not one of those things. Maybe you have tough decisions that you have to make. If you have a job that you're like, I mean, I've done it so long, I have, retirement's looming. Well, you have to figure out, is that something that is worth what it's costing me in pulling me away from whatever it is I'm born to do? I mean, I know people who have worked hard jobs, long hours, so that they could do what they were really born to do with the money that they got from doing that job. So those are things you have to figure out for yourself. All I'm saying is, I would suggest this week, a little personal inventory, just to ask yourself, first of all, are there things in my life that really, if I got rid of them, it would feel really good? Is there stuff in my life? Are there things on my schedule? Are there things that I'm paying for? That the truth is, yeah, probably if I let go of that fourth streaming service, I probably wouldn't even miss it, And it's a good feeling when you just go, yeah, I can do without that. Because anything that you eliminate, clarity and focus are the result. And you will move forward understanding a little bit more of who you really are. And for me, that's an exciting adventure. It's challenging. It's hard. None of us have perfect, integrity in terms of, yep, I know exactly who I am. Like Paul, I'm in the process. I'm trying to figure this out myself. But every one of us can understand there are times when we feel like we're in the sweet spot, and there are times when we feel like we're just frustrating ourselves and others. And our opportunity, as those who God has gifted us with a certain number of days and years, and we're in charge of what we decide to do with that. And I'd challenge you this year to be somebody who does that, makes that decision intentionally, not by default, that you not just do what you do to shut other people up, but that you do what you do because you go, when I do that, I feel I am being who God has created me to be. And you don't, it's not about volume at all. If the truth is, if we looked at our life over the last year, I know for me, you could probably easily fit into a 24-hour day everything that I did. Well, no, because my messages are probably longer than that, and most of those I feel good about. But, how much of the year did we really spend doing what we were born to do? So it isn't about volume. It's about making that intentional choice, being willing to think critically enough about ourselves, evaluate ourselves, and then go, I'm going to function in my sweet spot this year. And that's what Paul said was the process of his life. That's the way to focus. Start with elimination. Start with putting the past behind you. Just because something's happened in the past doesn't mean you have to keep doing it. Just because you're the one that always hosts Christmas doesn't mean that you have to host Christmas. You don't have to do anything in the future because of something that happened in the past. You figure out what works and what clicks and go with that. And 2022 will be an awesome year. Now, there may be some of you who, you don't even have a sense of that God has a purpose for your life at all. Maybe you've never even come into a relationship with him and never received his forgiveness, and you're not even sure if he's real. Well, don't worry. He made you, and he has a life for you that can be absolutely fulfilling. He has a purpose for you just like he does for somebody who's been a Christian forever. But it does start with you being able to have enough courage to bet on the idea that maybe, just maybe, this is real. Maybe there is a purpose to your life. I don't know who else is telling you what your purpose is. For most people, your purpose is just to please them or to send money to them or to do what they want you to do. If you can elevate your perspective enough to just go, what if? What if there's a God who loves me so much that he would send his son to die for me so that I could be completely clean and forgiven? And he would say, I love you, even if you don't ever do anything, even if you don't ever give me a penny or do a thing for me or you never go to church or anything else, I will love you just as much. Can you take a chance on something like that? I don't think there's anything else in your life. I mean, certainly that's not something the Dodgers will do for you or the Rams or the Lakers, certainly. And you know, it's like, so what is it that you're living for? Take that chance. Take that risk. He's not asking for anything in return. I pray that you would decide, hey, going into a new year, I can suspend my skepticism just enough to think maybe I am created for something more than what I've experienced. Maybe there is a purpose to my life. And you'll find it by starting with him. There'll be people down in the front who would love to pray with you. And if you just think, I need a spiritual reset, or if you need prayer for any reason, they would love to pray for you. Come on down to the front and receive some prayer. But for all of us, as you're getting rid of your Christmas decorations this week, and as you're trying to figure out where you're going to put all the stuff that somebody thought was so important to you, and all the stuff that goes in your car to go return, take a little time to just ask yourself, this year, when did I feel most alive? When did I feel most like, yeah, this is it? And figure out, how can I create more space in my life for that so that I can understand the life that God really wants? He leaves clues everywhere. And by the way, he's faithful to leave clues when something isn't that for you. And if you're thinking that, oh, there must be something wrong with me because this isn't working. No, maybe it's just that that's not something that you're supposed to do. So listen to him. And just ask him humbly, God, whatever it is in my life this year that is who I am, help me to find more of that and help me to just clear the clutter so that I can see more clearly who I am in your eyes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. And even as Paul had a sense of, this is a long process. And we've not arrived, but we want to move forward. So help us to know what we need to just chuck away. What do we need to take out of the storage units in our literal world, but the storage units of our houses and garages, and even more than that, the storage units inside our head that hangs on to thinking that things that we know don't work, thinking that they're somehow still valuable. Help us to learn this year, as we move into a new year, to live our lives simply, gaining a focus and figuring out more and more, who am I when I'm at my best? Who am I when I feel most alive? How do I work in this process to become more the one that you designed and made? Lord, if there are people that really just need to receive forgiveness and start fresh, please help them to know they can do that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.